Please welcome Adam Stone.
Like you said, I just retired from the Marine Corps a few years ago. I just moved up here and looked, so I was active in San Diego with the storytelling group down there. And so I'm kind of trying to find a new tribe up here. Phuket, Thailand. We've been hearing about this place for the last 6 months aboard a combat ship from the old salty Marines and sailors. It was told to us that it was a place where all your wants and desires could be explored, where Eastern Europeans go to vacation during their harsh winters, and where the local populace is more than willing to indulge your every fantasy. For the last 6 months, as 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds usually do, we had heard every sexual exploit that we had ever accomplished in our entire lives up until that point in glorifying detail. So we were finally here. The place we'd been dreaming about, the place that we'd been fantasizing about, salivating for. And like a scene from Apocalypse Now, 15 boats hit the shores of Phuket, Thailand, and waded out into the sea onto the shore. Now, my bunkmate, the guy who slept above me and who I've heard every single detail of his sexual life story, a graphic detail up until this point, waded onto the shore, dropped to his knees, threw his hands up in the air, and said, "Before the night is through, I shall bed you all." I put my hand in my head and kind of shook it back and forth and looked up, and I saw her. Now, at that moment, every desire that I'd ever had of bedding as many Eastern European girls and local Thai girls as possible during my 3-day liberty vanished. All I wanted to do at that moment was to know her. All I wanted to do at that moment was to know her name. My buddy, my partner in crime, threw his hand around my shoulder and said, "Come on, guys, let's go." I looked at him and said, "Hold on, man, just wait 1 second." He tracked my gaze and looked back at her and looked back at me, smiled and walked away, and pointed 2 fingers at me and said, "Okay, man, but just remember, a French fry can only bounce so high." To this day, I have no idea what that means. I serpentined through the white pasty tourists and sat perched on a wall that separated the beach from the bars. And I watched her go from tourist to tourist, selling her wares of local fruits and handmade goods. Eventually, she came to me. When she got to me, she asked me if I would like to buy something, and I just, with the greatest grin, I said, "Most assuredly." I bought 2 bananas and a sliced mango. She looked at me again, and then she asked, "Are you a Marine?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." "Are you drinking?" And since I had just got on island, I said, "No, ma'am." She smiled. Her smile widened a little bit brighter, and she says, "Good. I don't like boys that drink." Seeing this as a slight sign, I asked her, "Where can a guy like me go that's kind of quiet and low-key and can relax for the evening that's not too loud?" She rattled off a few spots and eventually kind of took a pause and looked at me and said, "I go to the Blue Parrot, and if I see you there, that would be nice." I smiled even brighter, that could make any Kodak commercial go to shame, and looked at me and I said, "I would definitely see you there tonight." She walked away, kind of giggling, and looked over her shoulder and goes, "Maybe," and just hunched off throughout the crowd. I immediately jumped from my perch and ran to my friends and instructed them quite firmly that we would be going to the Blue Parrot that night. Primarily for moral support, but if I read all the signs wrong, at least they can buy me a few drinks to ease my pain. That night we walked into the Blue Parrot and I saw her. But she wasn't standing in the middle of the dance floor underneath the spot like some cheesy 80s film. No, she was off to the side by herself, just swinging her hips to the music. I walked up to her and asked her, like, "So, do you remember me?" And her smile brightened the room, so much that it lightened any trepidation that I had within my heart and lifted a veil of kind of insecurity that I might have had about what I have seen the day before, the previous time. that night, I really couldn't tell you what happened the rest of that night. But what I can tell you, we danced, we laughed, and we walked on the beach holding hands. And when it was time for us to say goodbye, we made plans for the next day to meet at the same spot where we first spoke. Then my next 3 days of liberty was amazing. I did things that only the seasoned tourists and the locals knew. I learned how to ride a pack of elephant with her sitting behind, between my feet, between my legs, and her guiding my toes on how to steer the pachyderm with my toes. We rode mopeds everywhere we went, tipping our taxi drivers that drove the mopeds a little bit more each time to playing a cat and mouse game throughout the island of Thailand to see who can get there the fastest. We ate in small little restaurants and back alleys where there's only two things on the handwritten menu, that everything we ate was amazing, along with the company that I was keeping was amazing. My last night day in Thailand, she asked me to meet her family, and I joyously accepted. That night, they opened their hearts and their homes to me, where we broke bread and we talked and we laughed. I met her mom, who was an amazing woman, and her three little brothers, who that night we practiced my wrestling, where I'd like to say that I won. And they practiced their Muay Thai on my shins and my calves, and I'd like to say that they won. When we finally said our goodbyes that evening, I realized that family is family no matter where you are in this world, and that people are people no matter where you are in this world. I like to think that they showed me that. And I like to think that they showed me, I showed them that not all American service members are James Dean cowboys, as her mom liked to refer to me the entire night. But that night, her and I walked on that beach for the last time, totally void of tourists, but only sprinkled with lovers, holding each other for that last few moments in their arms. We finally perched upon that same wall that I first saw her that night, that final first day for our final night. And there, under the Thai moon, we leaned in and we kissed for the first time. That was that kind of kiss that you read about and little girls kind of fantasize about, where there's fireworks in the air and Kenny G or Michael Bolton's playing soft music in the background. Then finally, abruptly, it stopped and she pushed me away. She looked down. I couldn't imagine what was wrong. And she looked at me with wet eyes and kind of stroking her crucifix. And she looked at me and she says, I have to tell you something. I couldn't imagine what she had to tell me. Everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong in my head. She has a boyfriend, no, better yet, she has a husband. One of the three little boys I met earlier is really her son. I never asked, I just assumed they were her brothers. No, wait, she has AIDS. It is the early 90s, and it's a very much a real thing right now. She looked at me, the long pause, and she goes, I'm really a boy. Now, once again, everything that I could possibly think went through my head in a split second, but the only things that weren't there were fear or anger or hatred. But I did possibly say the worst thing you could possibly say at that moment. The words that kind of slipped or fell out of my mouth was, how interesting. I could see the weight of the world crushed down upon her shoulders, and she put her palms on the wall and pushed herself up, and she looked at me and she goes, I understand. At that moment, I reached out and tried to grab for her wrist, and I said, wait, hold on. That's not what I meant at all. What I meant to say was, why does it matter? For the last 3 days, I have had the most wonderful experience in my 20-year-old life. Why does that have to stop now? And she sat back down and we talked. We talked the rest of the night. And she talked to me about herself, who she really was. She talked to me about how she came out, how she had this constant conflict with who she was growing up, and how her conflict with her religion and didn't accept her. We talked about how she opened up to her family, and all they did was open up to her with warm arms and love, the same way they did to me just a few hours before. We talked the rest of the night. I learned who she really was, and I really learned who I really was. When it's finally time for me to go back to the ship, we walked hand in hand down the pier. When we finally said our last goodbyes, we gave one last warm embrace that was nothing but love and affection towards one another. And there she whispered in my ears, and all she did was say, "Thank you." And all I can say back to her was, "No, thank you." And as the boat separated us for that one final time, I looked over my shoulder, seeing her there waving to me, saying goodbye. And I remember thinking, thank you for everything you have taught me in 3 days that life hasn't taught me yet. That the world is a much better, beautiful place than what I've already known it to be. That it's not filled with hatred of war that I have just come from. Thank you for showing me that the beauty is not just on the outside, but it's on the inside as well. Thank you for allowing me to become a real man today. Thank you.